That was oil leaving by ship from the U.S. to a foreign destination yesterday, and that is news. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In the last day, the first tanker of U.S. crude oil destined for export departed a U.S. port under new legislation ending the longstanding export ban. It embarked from the port of Corpus Christi, with the Wall Street Journal identifying it as a ConocoPhillips and NuStar energy cargo. The oil was pulled from the shale formation called Eagle Ford in South Texas. The industry argued there was plenty of crude to allow exports without hurting U.S. prices. Barbara Shook with the Energy Intelligence Group says refineries supplying the U.S. market are set up to have their own supplies.
You'll have a little more swapping around here and there. Refineries can't overnight change the feedstock grades that they can use. It's as if an oven in the kitchen could cook only a certain recipe. And the U.S. is going to be exporting light sweet crudes, but most of the refineries in the world anymore are configured to operate on medium to heavy grades because that was how the world was configured until the shale gale in the U.S.
Catch that phrase, shale gale. Oil traded in New York will start the year at around $37 a barrel, down 30% from a year ago. While past performance is not a guide to the future, we can now calculate that the NASDAQ composite, filled with so many technology stocks, went up 5.7% in the year just ended. While past performance is no future guide, the S&P 500 fell 0.7% last year, the first annual drop since 2008, although that year of the financial collapse was vastly worse for the S&P. It fell 37% in that year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average in 2015 fell 2.1%. More money is in bonds than stocks. As for those vast markets, let's check in with Guy Labat, Chief Fixed Income Strategist with Janney Montgomery Scott.
Some people talk about bull markets, others about bear markets, and for bonds at least, this was the hamster market. They kind of ran around and around and ultimately went nowhere, and we're finishing the year with at least long-term interest rates pretty close to where we started. And the reason, really, is that the financial markets came around to believing this concept called secular stagnation. And secular stagnation refers to an economic trend whereby economic growth is slow for a very long period for reasons we basically can't fix, such as slower population growth, for example.
And how is it possible that the benchmark interest rate, the 10-year Treasury yield, ended up by less than 0.1% over the past year, given all the noise about higher interest rates to come? Labat says that's partly because the noise has been going on for so long, and that rate hike last month was already priced in. This new year is the deadline for all branches of the U.S. military to turn in their detailed plans for how women will be fully integrated into all roles, including combat positions. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Starting tomorrow, the military will slowly be opening up all jobs to women, which means all the pay grades are opening up too. Catherine Kidder is a fellow at the Center for New American Security, a military-focused think tank.
On the whole, the military has actually been a really good equalizer when it comes to current compensation.
That's because there's a pretty straightforward method of determining pay. Years of service, what job you're doing, where and how dangerous it is. But there are other kinds of wage disparity.
And the fact that women have historically and continue to be shut out of some occupations means that they make lower wages than they should.
Fatima Goss-Graves is with the National Women's Law Center. She says blocking women from certain combat designations also blocked better pay and benefits. But now that's changing.
This is going to be big, not just for the military.
She says this will challenge perceptions about what jobs women can do, both in and out of the armed services. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
The huge 700-member Allen High School band from North Texas is among those marching in today's Rose Parade in Pasadena. But who fixes all those expensive horns and tubas if they get banged up out there on the road? Bowie High School in Arlington, Texas, recently launched a program to teach young people how to repair instruments. Bill Zeeble with KERA in Dallas reports.
Joe Stroll puts a battered silver-plated baritone horn on the work table and hands me a hammer.
Good. Beautiful.
Almost done.
All right.
Stroll teaches instrument repair, and he says don't feel bad. This horn's a volunteer.
We've done quite a bit of repair. This is actually one of our demo horns that we get to do this sort of thing on.
Now with new damage, this horn will teach dent removal. It was among $60,000 worth of new instruments donated by the Yamaha company. Roger Eaton is Yamaha's chief marketing director.
We get instruments that are freight damaged. We get instruments that... stuff happens.
These instruments help students learn to make them sing. Repair expert Stroll comes borrowed from Music and Arts, a Maryland-based band instrument retailer. He tells 17-year-old student Noah Patrick that brass dents are among the most common problems. He remembers one mom who brought in her son's trombone.
She picked it up off the bed, stuck it up in the air, and the trombone slide caught in the ceiling fan and just bent it into a 90-degree angle. That was a new experience.
This class is a new experience for Patrick.
Honestly, school's just not really my thing. I've always liked kind of building stuff and putting it together. And since I love music, I figure, why not do this?
Jeremy Earnhardt with Arlington Schools came up with this program.
It's like blacksmithing, and it takes a number of years. So after 2 years with this program with Music and Arts, our students will be apprenticeship ready.
And Earnhardt says that instrument repair techs can make up to $70,000 a year. And there's a market for bringing instruments back into shape, like that horn I hammered. Stroll shows me what it can do after a little work.
We got it to the point where it is playable.
The current generation of instrument repair techs is aging. Without ready replacements, it's the industry that could be singing the blues. In Arlington, Texas, I'm Bill Zeeble for Marketplace.
And before we go, implicit in copyright law is the ability of the rights holder to say, no, I don't want this published anywhere. So it has been with the copyright to Adolf Hitler's book Mein Kampf, that hateful, muddled, anti-Semitic screed. After the war, the government of the German state of Bavaria was given the rights, and Bavaria said no to anyone who wanted to reprint that book. But it's been 70 years, and the copyright has now expired. The BBC's reporting that some Jewish groups are now supporting a new Mein Kampf volume with academic annotations that will explore how Hitler's book went so wrong. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.